Hi, welcome to Together Equal, Inclusion Made Simple, hosted by me, Sarah Ebmash.
And me, Andrew Milne.
We'll be talking to guests about their diversity and inclusivity journey and asking them to share one simple tip towards making the workplace more diverse, equal and inclusive. I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Vincent Egenlai, Ethnicity Network co-founder and chair at Grant Thornton. Vincent was named by the Black British Business Awards as the UK's number one black rising star in professional services and is co-founder and trustee of the Open Private School. Vincent, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Bea. Glad to be here.
We always enjoy speaking to you. Could you, before we go any further, could you just tell us a bit more about yourself and your role and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Vincent and I work within the corporate finance team at Grant Thornton. I've been at Grant Thornton my whole career, so that's 5.5 years now. And I think one of the best bits about being here has been founding the Ethnicity Network and being the chair, which has been going on for 4 years and is our firm's largest network. So it's something I'm really proud of.
Brilliant. Sounds great. When you joined, is that what you were planning that, or is it just organically?
Funnily enough, I think when I joined, I wasn't planning it at all. I think when I first started working at Grant Thornton, I think the words diversity and inclusion weren't something that I'd heard of before or ever really paid any attention to. And when I joined, my first 6 months, I started off in audit. So I had to sit exams. I think I did 6 exams in the first 6 months. And I was just hyper-focused on getting those exams done. And it was only after those exams, so I had a bit more free time. One of my friends invited me to a diversity and inclusion event. And I'd normally never attend these things, but they told me that the free drink, free canapes, so I thought I'll go. And when I went, I was just really inspired by what I heard. And I wanted people within my firm to feel the same way I felt at that time.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And so having gone to the event and, you know, gone on this journey through your initial start at that event, what would you say diversity means to you then?
I think what it means to me is having an environment where everyone can produce the highest level of performance that they are capable of as an individual. And then I think that should feed through into high levels of performance collegiately. And I think for me, I want to be the best. I want to work in the best firm possible. I want to work in the best environment possible. And I don't see how that's possible without a focus on diversity and inclusion. So that's why it's important to me and why I think it should be important to other people. It's about being the best that you can possibly be.
And of course, I guess that means different things to different people.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of it. Being different people need different things in order to perform to their maximum capacity as often as possible. And that looks very different. So for example, there'll be some individuals within my company who are extremely good technically. And then there'll be some individuals who are extremely good in areas such as business development. And to get to the highest levels within my firm, you need to be well-rounded. So you'd need to be competent in both of those aspects. And naturally, in any company, individuals who are better at business development, we will have technical training courses for them. Individuals who are better at technical training, we will have business development courses for them. And that's just, that isn't questioned. That's seen as normal, that people have different strengths and we should work to help people develop their weaknesses. And for diversity and inclusion, for some reason, it's seen as different. Someone who went to a really, really top private school is probably going to be more likely to have a better understanding of the business world when they enter in their first year. They're probably more likely to be a little bit more confident in the workplace. And these things are important as well. So what enabling people to perform at their best means, finding out where we can help them, listening to people on how we can help them, and then starting to bring out their latent qualities.
Yeah, and Andrew and I have noticed in interviewing previously that there can be a massive disparity, exactly what you're describing. So you get a candidate who's head and shoulders above another when you speak to them, and it's like, what do you do? They deserve the job because they've interviewed better, but do they? Because the other person could be equally good, but they just haven't got that life experience or the background that has gotten to that.
Exactly.
So how do you get them up to that? Yeah, that's another big question. So Vincent, what is your simple tip to getting one step closer to equality, diversity, and inclusivity in the workplace that any of our listeners could try? Because it's such a big subject and people don't know where to start. So if you are starting out from kind of scratch or not knowing where to start, what would you recommend?
I would say listen to people now. When I think about diversity and inclusion, especially within the corporate environment, I think the most powerful argument for diversity and inclusion is that it makes a company better. It makes you perform better because you have different viewpoints. People who aren't part of the establishment are more likely to be able to come in with a fresh set of eyes, and therefore you innovate quicker and faster. That's the argument for me for diversity and inclusion. And when we look at the upper echelons within the corporate world at the moment, it isn't diverse and inclusive across professional services, across law, across politics. It isn't diversity and inclusive. So in order for us to get the benefits of diversity and inclusion, normally the argument is that we're going to have to wait 10 or 15 or 20 years, that we just don't have the pipeline. But that's not true. We can listen to people now. At my firm, Grant Thornton, we established an inclusion advisory board where we had individuals from around the firm who are more representative of the general population. And we were able to give our thoughts and opinions on operational and strategic matters at a C-suite level within our firm. So we were getting the benefits of diversity and inclusion now. And if we want to perform better, if we want to innovate more, then we simply can't wait 10 or 15 or 20 years to have the diverse leadership teams that we want. And it is going to take a while for that to happen, but we can benefit from diversity now. We can start including people now. We can start listening to people who are maybe younger or people who perhaps don't have the technical experience needed to reach the upper echelons within the corporate environment, but they do have other experiences, and it doesn't mean that they can't contribute. So that's the one piece of advice that I would give to any senior leaders within the corporate world, is if your environment isn't diverse, it doesn't mean you can't benefit from diversity. You can go out there, you can speak to people, and you can listen to them now.
Okay. And so having done like the listening activities that you've just mentioned, and you say that, you know, a lot of companies may say, well, you know, we have to wait until whatever happens. How do you directly impact that change yourself, having done the research?
So I think for myself, I just really try to speak up. I try to speak up about the things that I'm passionate about. And if I have an idea, if I have a different way of doing things, another way of thinking about it, then I just try my hardest to make sure that my voice is heard. And I think it's really, really important to do that, because I don't necessarily think that I'm going to have the best ideas or I'm going to be the person that changes everything. But I do think I can make it a little bit easier for other people who want to speak up, who might have better ideas, but don't feel able to speak up. Yeah, I do think that I can make it a little bit easier for those people. And I think that when I think back to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, we are only able to have the conversations that we are having now because there were people before us who had much tougher conversations, who had it much harder to get to the point where we're at today, where we can speak openly about diversity and inclusion. So the one thing that I can try to do is to just make it, again, a little bit easier for the person that comes after me. And what that looks like is setting up my network within my firm, setting up my charity, the Open Private School, and trying to bring the idea to the forefront that there is a massive gap between those who are state and privately educated. Coming on podcasts like this and speaking about it and sharing it, and just making sure that a topic of diversity and inclusion is something that everyone feels comfortable talking about. And then hopefully someone who does have that brilliant idea, that magic silver bullet, will be able to communicate that when the time is right.
So what you're saying, it's listening, but it's creating that people aren't at the table, so they can't share their views. So it's building a table, inviting them to that table. And that table is like inclusion advisory board. And then when they're there, they have a vehicle, a platform to speak from. Exactly. And that's what you're listening to. So you can get that, you get it. Yeah, you're leapfrogging a generation by creating that table now.
Exactly. And that's what creating that space where people feel comfortable speaking about their views, because diversity is one thing, but inclusion is another. And that's also really important. I always think about in my WhatsApp group with my best friends, if I've got an idea or one of them's got an idea, you will find out whether that's a good idea or a stupid idea in about 10 seconds flat. Like, you get the most honest, clear feedback that you can ever imagine. And things work quicker because of that. And then when you're in the corporate environment, you think about how totally different it is and how the way people speak and the way people operate is totally different. People are just entirely different people within the corporate world. So if we get that diversity into our workplaces, that is one thing. But enabling people to have the space to share their ideas and to feel as if their ideas are going to be validated, listened to, understood, and then implemented, that's a different thing entirely. So creating that kind of environment in the workplace where it is almost like a friendship, it's more similar to that WhatsApp group that I'm speaking about at the past, because diversity, getting people in one room, that is important. But once those people are in those rooms to get that innovation, to benefit from it, they need to feel comfortable to share their ideas.
So it's about trust and safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Great. And so how would you say you measure success in what you do then?
So measuring success is something that I think is really tough regarding diversity and inclusion, because as an accountant, I always first thought is always going to be the numbers. So measuring success, you think about typically how representative of the general population is your workplace, and at all levels. So looking at the numbers, I think numbers are one way to look at it. I want the numbers to change. I want us to have more Black partners. I want us to have more female partners. I want us to have more people who don't identify as heterosexual in these spaces. The numbers need to change, because right now they aren't anywhere near close enough to be representative. But I also think there's another way to look at it that's less tangible than just looking at the numbers, which is I want people within my workplace to feel comfortable. I want people to feel as if they can share who they are within the workplace with no fear of repercussions, and that they will be judged based on how good they are at what it is that they do. And they don't feel as if that they need to change themselves. They don't feel as if they need to hide their names. They don't need to feel as if they need to hide parts of their identity. Alternatively, they don't feel as if they need to stop becoming someone that they're not, that they need to become an aggressive person in order to progress within the workplace, that they need to be involved in all the sporting activities to progress in the workplace, that they need to drink alcohol to progress within the workplace. And I want people to feel as if they can come to work and they can just be themselves. And that's something that I think is really hard to measure. But for me, it is more important than the numbers for me. It's more important that we have removed the barriers that people face to progression. And then the numbers should fix themselves. But removing those barriers has got to be our starting point of reasoning.
Brilliant. Thank you. So, Vincent, what are you most proud of achieving in your diversity inclusion journey? I mean, you've done so many things, so you've got a broad range of things to from.
I think that what I'm most proud of in... What I'm most proud of in my journey is actually, it is when people are thinking about joining Grant Thornton, every now and then someone will send a message. I mean, some videos and things like that, you know, on our recruitment page, and someone will message me or saying something on LinkedIn, like, I've seen you on the recruitment page. I'm thinking about joining. And it was just great that I saw someone that looked like me, involved someone who is progressing through the workplace, and you just kind of made it feel a little bit more like it's a space where we belong. And then they then speak about the credentials that Grant Thornton have in that space, which are massive. And for me to just have played a part in creating an environment where people like me will feel more at home from day one, I think that, that's the thing that I'm definitely, definitely most proud of, because it's like there was a before and an after. And I know that it will never be, not that it was bad before, but it will never be, it will only ever get better from here on. And I'm really proud of having played a small part in that for my firm.
I think you underestimate how much of an impact you make. But it's amazing that's how you measure your success on changing people's lives. I think you truly do. Vincent, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thanks so much for your time. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in, and watch out for our next episode of Together Equal, Diversity and Inclusion Made Simple.